Good morning, 8:35. Greg Cotterill in for Paul Small this morning. And this morning, hey, this is pretty good because last night there was a big basketball game, I'm told. Not too late for me to watch. People have to get up early. Can't watch those games that start really late. But sort of ties in. We're going to talk a little bit about athletics this morning. From Finger Lakes Health, we have Laura Turbide with us, as always, bringing in a couple guests, Katie Sharman and Andrew Meister. Meister, did I get it right?
Yes, you did.
Are with us. So hello to everybody. Laura, you want to tell us a little bit?
Yes. Good morning, Greg. Thrilled to be here. It is. It's no longer March Madness, I guess. I was reminded this morning, but it's actually already April. Students are starting to get ready and get a little spring fever, getting ready for their breaks. But one of the most critical roles that we play as a health system, I think, is when we can focus on prevention, focus on early wellness, health. And one of the important roles we've been playing recently has been with the growth of our rehab services. We have a dynamic leader, Maureen Loyal, who's been on the show before, and she oversees our athletic training program and really helped introduce it to our region. So we're here with two of our athletic trainers this morning. Katie works in Geneva, and Andrew works with Seneca Falls School District. And we're going to hear a little bit about sort of what draw them to athletic training, also sort of how our athletic trainers are head and shoulders above many others because of their commitment. They work not only with our athletes in our region for the many schools we have. We also have Penn Yan and Dundee schools as part of our program, but really working not only with athletes on the field during games, but during practices, as well as through multiple sports. So it's not just, for example, sort of the high profile sports, or it might not be just male sports. It's female sports, male sports, all the different sports, to really make sure that our athletes are safe, getting the right conditioning, and then if they do get injured, getting sort of back to play safely. So I want to hear from them because they know about athletic training and I don't. But we are really thrilled that they're part of our dynamic team, and we've got two of them here this morning to talk about it.
I'll let you know how they do at the end, because I got a sore neck and bad knees, so they can help me out during this interview. Just joking, of course. But let's start with Katie. Katie, tell us about yourself a little bit first. How did you get, why an athletic trainer?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Vermont, so I'm a transplant out here, but I grew up playing sports. I have two older sisters, so I was introduced at a young age, and I was lucky enough to play in college. I played softball in college, and that was really my first exposure to athletic training. I unfortunately sustained an injury my freshman year that held me out for a little bit, but I worked closely with the athletic trainers at Skidmore College, and they got me back on the field and ready to go, and throughout my career there, I built a relationship with them and understood what athletic training was. So when the time came to graduate and figure out my next steps, I was lucky enough to find an entry-level program in New Hampshire and did that for 2 years. Ended up out here in 2014, and here I am at Geneva now.
And Andrew, how about you?
So really similar to Katie, played sports all my life, and I think that kind of goes along for most people who enter our profession. You know, if we're not good enough to go play professionally and we still want to stay around athletics, but also want to help people and we're interested in the medical field, it's a great way to stay around teams, build great relationships with coaches, and help young athletes hopefully perform the best that they can.
It takes more than just running out on the field and doing some stretching before the competition starts, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what do you do with the students?
So on a day-to-day basis, I'm in the schools. I come in around noon, and I have kids in my office from the moment I get there, just, you know, rolling out, stretching, doing some education for preventative injuries. We do a lot of, like, ankle rehabs, a lot of strengthening. But probably one of the things I enjoy most is just, like, educating the kids and talking to the kids because they have so many questions. They really want to understand what's going on. They want to understand what they need to eat, how they need to sleep. All that kind of stuff that goes into performing the best you can. So we do a lot of education before they even hit the field for the day. And then, of course, when they hit the field, we're there at every practice, every game, if they do need anything, and kind of take care of them in that realm.
So, Andrew, what sports are you involved with? You're in Seneca Falls, so are you with all the sports?
Yep. So Katie and I, we both cover all sports at our respective schools. For the spring, we have boys and girls lacrosse, baseball, softball, and boys tennis, as well as track and field going right now.
So is there a difference in training between sports?
Yeah, so one of the one of the things that I thought was interesting about
tennis elbow compared to like, you know, getting knocked in the head in football or something, I guess.
Yeah. Right. So I think one of the cool things about our education system is a lot of our classes go over the commonly seen injuries. So tennis elbow is a great example for one of those. But of course you can have a rolled ankle in track and field, same as you can have a rolled ankle in lacrosse, but that's why it's important for us to be there, not just at games, but during practices as well, so that we can treat those as soon as possible to get the athletes out on the field as quickly as we can.
Katie, you mentioned that you got interested when you were in college and mm-hmm. you were playing sports. What do you have to do then to get to where you are now? What's the education like?
So now it's actually a master's degree program. Every athletic trainer has to have their bachelor's of science degree with a various number of prereqs, and then they go on to a two-year program to get their master's, where it's an intensive course of study for orthopedic injuries, general medical conditions, and learning the therapy that we do with these athletes. So it's a pretty intensive two-year course that a lot of individuals go through. And you do a lot of clinical experiences. So you're in class from in the morning to like 2 o'clock, and then you're out on the field during the day with other certifieds and following them and learning from them.
It sounds like an interesting job to have. Again, you're working in Geneva, mm-hmm. Andrew's in Seneca Falls, and then again, you work with the people at Finger Lakes Health to pull it all together.
Yeah.
What else should we know about training? I mean, if you have a child who's coming up through the school system and is an athlete or, you know, going to participate in sports, what should they know? What kind of things should they know?
I think
basic things to get started. Like,
well, I think the most basic thing is to know that we're a resource at the schools and we're really there to help out, whether it's something that we specialize in, you know, if we feel more comfortable with kind of musculoskeletal injuries, or if it's something that we can be a great conduit for finding the proper resources in the area to help that student with whatever's going on.
Absolutely.
I think we hear more and more, too, about concussion management, and it certainly is something that we offer through our rehab program. We also work closely with Dr. Rob Anderson, who has particular interest in concussion management. So we obviously hope, because of the work these folks are doing, that we don't get to that point, but we do know that things happen. I think it's also really important for a parent to understand that safety is critical, and as part of this role, we've really helped earn a Safe Schools recognition. Yes. For several of the schools that we've worked with, and part of that is about appropriate management, appropriate working with athletes. So while there are certainly, I would say, parents can tend to be some super fans, it really is mostly helpful if, as parents, we can be supportive of our student athlete, and in that way we want them to be a full, healthy, well-rounded athlete all around. And sometimes if that means, I'll let them speak to it, but if it means taking a little bit longer to make sure you're safe to get back into competition, but certainly working ahead of time, I think, as parents, to really respect, I think, those decisions and make sure that athletes know that they can speak up.
Yeah, I remember when I was in high school many, 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 many years ago, there was a doctor at the football games in case somebody got hurt, but I don't remember trainers being around or being there even before the games and all that. So
yeah, I think that's
times
really
have changed.
Yeah, I think it's really, I would say in the last 10 years even, it's really picked up, especially at the high school level. I mean, college athletic trainers have been around for years and years, and you know, in the best world, we have the athletic trainers and we have an orthopedic surgeon on the sidelines with us, but that's not always possible. We work very closely with Dr. Mark at Interlakes Orthopedic Surgery, and he is amazing with our athletes, really doing the best he can to get them in same day or next day if he needs to see them. So he's an awesome resource for us. But yeah, in the last 10 years, we've really seen an uptick in what athletic training is doing.
Andrew, have you had to tell a kid, wait, maybe you better stay off that foot for another few days? You have to tell kids that? Stuff like that?
Yeah, especially last year being my first year at Seneca Falls, those are always the toughest conversations to have. But after, you know, kids and parents realize that you're really just there for their best interests, we're not out there looking to keep kids out of play, we're actually there for the opposite, it gets a little bit easier to have those conversations.
What's the next what's next for you guys? I mean, is this what you want to do for the rest of your life, or is there more? Do you want to move more into the medical field? I don't.
Yeah, I mean, we're very we're healthcare providers, right. So it really is it's a medical position. I love my job right now. You know, I'm always open to learning new things. Part of our certification is that we do continuing education. It's 50 units every 2 years, mm-hmm. So there's always learning opportunities, and there's always things that are piquing my interest. So, I mean, I could say that I'm going to be an athletic trainer forever, but who can predict the future, you know?
That's right. How about you, Andrew?
Well, one of the things that, like...
You're happy in Seneca Falls, right?
Definitely happy in Seneca Falls. One of the things that Katie and I just completed was a concussion management specialist course. So okay. That's just one of the things to keep challenging ourselves academically. And then when school is not in session, trying to find out things that we can offer our student athletes over the summer, whether that's injury prevention screening or just going over things that they can do on their own to keep themselves feeling good while they're training in the off season as well.
Andrew and Katie here today, athletic trainers, Katie at Geneva, Andrew at Seneca Falls, helping out the students and the athletics at both schools. Laura Turbide here from Finger Lakes Health. I got to ask you a little bit. COVID, how are we doing at the hospital?
We are doing better. We are grateful. You'll be seeing soon some of our metrics. We've been sort of counting, as you can imagine, what our volumes have been like over time. I can tell you that at one point, urgent care volumes had literally doubled year over year. We really saw 2022, particularly in January, a third of all of the cases of COVID that we've seen across our region since the beginning in March 2020 came to us in January of 2022. So January was just a really peak month, as people are seeing on the news and you're listening here on the station, on many stations about. So I can tell you we are in a better place. We actually are not overrun the way at one point we had a lot of people sort of waiting for beds in the ER. As you know, long-term care beds sort of full, which means no one can sort of move, and almost a little bit of a logjam that we've been hearing all around. So I can say we are confident that at this point we feel grateful to be able to open those ORs back up. That was critical for us. There were so many people, especially for elective surgeries, that were waiting. We were obviously getting the emergencies in, but I'm so thankful for our staff, and truthfully so many staff in our place that just pitched in, went wherever they were needed, worked sort of out of, I would say, their traditional role or out of their comfort zone in terms of being assigned to a different unit, working a different shift, doing whatever was needed to make sure our community was cared for. So we're glad to be through that peak in January. Let's hope people continue to focus on doing all the things that we learned through this. So mm-hmm. Still being smart, social distancing, self-screening, not going places, staying home if you don't feel well, because COVID by no means is necessarily in our rearview mirror fully yet. So if you're not feeling well, we encourage you to continue to monitor symptoms, stay home. And we are still, of course, offering testing.
But doing better. If somebody has to come to the emergency room, they don't have to worry, right?
We do. You will be well taken care of. We will have space for you. We will have staff there ready to tend to your needs. And of course, at urgent care, we're still doing testing, et cetera. We're still, one of the big silver linings really was that we did implement a lot more telemedicine. We were just talking with the trainers here about it. So it sort of forced us to ramp up and find some alternative ways. And I think that's one of the positives. That's here to stay. A lot of our practices doing telemed really increases access, particularly in a rural area where there aren't bridges built across these lakes. People can get in quicker if they call and can make a telemedicine appointment with primary care, some of our specialists, as well as urgent care.
I heard the other day there was going to be a bridge all the way across all the Finger Lakes, but I didn't realize it was April 1st, so I guess that's not really going to happen. Anything else we should know about these great athletic trainers we have with us today?
I'm just so thrilled that, as I said, that we've been focused heavily on prevention, that we've got such talented folks with us. Mm-hmm. And as Katie so aptly put, medical professionals who are here focused in terms of athletics and now serving four of our area district schools. And we're certainly always looking to expand. And also in the summer, I guess watch out for some summer programming, because while a lot of the summer programming in the past has been with schools that we're already working with, it sounds as though we may have some opportunities for athletes and or schools who have otherwise not yet been involved with us to be on the lookout.
We talked about Seneca Falls and Geneva. What are the other schools? You said there's four?
Yeah, Penyon, Dundee, Seneca Falls, as well as Geneva are the districts that right now are part of our rehab athletic training programs.
Sounds good. Very good. And keep up the good work. And thanks for helping out my neck and my knees today.
Thanks for having us.
FLX Morning continues.